Welcome to House of Bread Podcast. This is Pastor Jonathan Hansen speaking at Abundant Life Church.
So today, I am simply just going to talk. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'm going to talk about some things I feel, some things I've seen, some things I've been just aware of, just out there, and a little bit of vision stuff, and a little bit of stuff that God did say at the conference. So I wanted that because I wanted to make sure that the conference always happens, and then everybody always who wasn't there feels left out. So I'm like, okay, let's talk about it to everybody so you get to see what are they talking about? You guys are like retarded. You keep talking about the same thing over and over and over again, like it's a big deal. And it is a big deal because we make room for God once a year to speak through us through these five guys that come around the world, and they really do speak to us. They give their lives to hearing what God wants to say, and it is beautiful, absolutely beautiful what God does. And I felt like things got really, really clear. I just felt, I'll explain to you what I felt. During all last week, I'm looking around and I'm going, okay, that's what you meant. Or I'm going around and I'm going, okay, I'm seeing things that are off and not off, things that are awesome that we're doing, and all really, really clear. And it made me realize, I'm like, okay, that's what I've been talking about, a spiritual father. Okay, so I'm going to just real quickly say that everybody needs to have a spiritual father in your life. And I know that word is horrible, like that word has been abused, okay? That word, most fathers, figures, and what we see, if you look on the internet, you type in even fathering, it is abuse. It's either usually illegitimate children is what they mean by that word. So we don't even understand that word. Mothering, you can type in mothering on Google and everybody will go, okay, we know that's compassionate. We know that's, there's like beautiful pictures of mothering on the internet. But on fathering, there's not so much. So when I say spiritual father, what I mean is someone who does things in your life. And you might not even have liked it at that point. You're like, if someone was trying to show you love in your life, and later on you go, oh, that's what he was trying to say. I get it now. That's a spiritual father. Or you're saying, oh, that's what God's like. I get it now. That's a spiritual father, or a spiritual parent for that matter. So that's what I'm talking about when I mean a spiritual father. And I believe that God, I mean, as a parent, now that I'm a parent, my parents told me all kinds of things growing up, right? And when I got older, I go, oh, that's what they meant. When I became a parent, I'm going, oh, that's what they meant. That's why they were doing that. I get it now. That kind of stuff happens all the time because there's people who care enough for us. There should be people enough who care enough for us in our lives that speak something we don't necessarily want to hear, but is a God-loving thing in our lives. That's what I mean. So I was seeing that kind of stuff all over the place. I'm thinking, okay, this is incredible. What God is doing is phenomenal with what was here. And I just want to just touch on just the titles that God spoke. Okay, so the first title we said, you have to see what God sees first. That was my dad's message. That was Ted Hansen's message. First thing is you got to see what God sees. So if you're looking at your own life and you don't feel like you are who you're supposed to be, who do you think God sees you are? Who do you think God sees you as? What do you think he looks like? And it's kind of good to detach yourself from your own mind every once in a while and go, okay, what does God see me as? What does he like about me? And what is he, why would he let me do what I'm doing now? Why would he trust me with this? Why would he trust me with this relationship? Why would he trust me with these kids? Why would he trust me with my wife? Why would he trust me with my husband? Whatever it is, why would he do that? He must see something in me that I don't see because I don't trust myself in that area, right? So there's all kinds of areas in your life like that you just, what does God see you as? So that was the first thing. This is a great quote that he said, if you have not changed, you have not experienced grace. I thought that was pretty cool. I also like this quote, but we didn't put it up there. I could get in trouble for saying this one, but he says, church is the place where Jesus comes out and scares the hell out of you. He said, just like the Jack in the Box. He was telling a story where he had a Jack in the Box when he was a kid, and he was winding it up, and no one told him there was a Jack inside of it. And all of a sudden it scared him, and it scared the out of him, right? So he said, church should be a place where that is, where Jesus comes out. And he actually, not something we just talk about, you actually see him. You actually experience him. And all of a sudden, wow, that scared me. But it made you, it jolted you into a reality of what life should be. That's what he's talking about. And if I had to explain what happened on last week, is I felt, I even can hear snapping sounds in my head, where things got jolted into place. And alignment happened. So a lot of things got spoken. Crisis is necessary. That was David Frederick's. Crisis is kind of what helps us become who we're supposed to be, if we embrace who we are in the middle of it. Andrew talked about Back to the Future. That was pretty cool. And some of the things he talked about, there was a story he told I don't want to go too long, because we have a couple that's going to share what happened to them this week, and I'm pretty excited about that. And he told a story. He said this guy was sick. He had spinal meningitis and double pneumonia. And before that, he was a really wealthy millionaire with a wife and kids and everything else. And he started going through all these problems, and his wife left him. His kids disowned him. And he's got spinal meningitis, and now he got double pneumonia. And he's in the hospital. He's dying. And this priest with a black robe walks in and basically is saying the final prayers to him. Right? Doing their cross thing and saying, right. See you later. Yep. Last rites, basically. Yep. And he can't even talk. He can't talk right now. He can just think. And then another person through the wall comes in with a white robe on and says, get up. You don't have any problems. And in his mind, he's going, are you kidding me? I don't have any problems. I got this wrong. I've got no marriage. My kids hate me. I have no money. I'm bankrupt. All these problems. How many times have we done it in our lives? Are you kidding me? Look, are you looking at the same eyes I'm looking at? My life looks like this. And you say I got no problems? And so then the person said again, get up. You have no problems. And he's gesturing. He's trying to, I mean, you can't communicate. He can't talk. He's gesturing, trying to do things. And basically, ended up, the guy in the white robe ended up saying, I'm Jesus Christ. You get up and walk. And he got up and was fine. And he was talking with him for like an hour long. And at the end of it, he goes, okay, he goes, I just have a weird question for you. He's asking Jesus. And he says, what? He goes, why did you not go through the door? He goes, well, I am the door. Yeah. Well, I thought that was pretty profound, actually. Because guess what? Anything in your life, you think the solution is knowledge to that problem. So if you're facing, you're trying to get a job. I know, I got to tell on you, Todd. I've just got to. Todd Hildebrand is now an insurance agent, I think is official, right? He has passed all his tests. No. It was that's an awesome deal. It's a pretty awesome deal. Well, he had there's one test in the state that only 12 people have passed all year long. So now 12 people have passed all year long. Before that, it was like 6 when he first started. And he kept taking this test, and he was getting the same percentage every time, 74 point something, and 75 is a pass. And the last time he took it, he goes, I know I did not take it. I didn't do a good job. And he got up there, and he got 75. And it's not even possible to get 75 on that test, because it's either 74 point something or 76 point something, based on the number of things. So the guy's looking at it going, this doesn't make any sense. And Todd said, you know what? It was the only time I know I prayed for 20 minutes before I even started doing my test. All the other times I was trying to do the test with knowledge, with what I knew. And he knows he passed all those other tests with flying colors, just so you know. It was just this test is kind of rigged, I think. But he didn't have the answer. Guess who the answer was? Connecting to him. Yeah. That's that way in our lives so many times. We think we have to have the knowledge to fix a problem. So if you're facing a relationship problem, you're going to read relationship books because that's going to help you fix the problem. It's not a bad idea. I'm a big fan of promoting, like, be a good steward with what God's given you, okay? However, the real solution comes from Him. Okay, the real solution in all our problems we face comes from Him. So what does He say about it? And David Frederick said, he read that there's over 7,000 promises from God in the Bible. I haven't found anything that I'm going to keep looking for that, but I do believe it. If you read the Bible and you start looking at it from the view of heaven and what God is saying, you start to realize there's a lot of promises from heaven in this book. So pretty good, pretty cool story. And it relates to where we're at in life. John Marsden talked about God is always present. He's always in charge, but not always in control. Now that's a tough one for some of us to swallow because we think God controls everything, but God doesn't mess with choice. He lets you choose. That's why, because He wants you to choose Him. So He does not always in control. He's in charge, and He could be in control if He wanted to be, but He chooses not to be. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to love others. He wants you to be the outlet that He uses. Isn't that an awesome, humbling thing? He trusts us to represent who God is on the earth. It's phenomenal, phenomenal responsibility that God gives us. Bob Nichols talked about follow your favor. Now that's a message we'll probably hear for the rest of the year. Because I believe God is trying to help us find out what are we born for. And I'll just give you a real basic example of what I'm talking about. I am never going to be a Harlan Globetrotter. Oh, darn. I don't know why. Okay, so there's certain things in my life that I just will never have the favor for because that's not what God created me on earth for. So a common one that people have problems with, and everybody This is something that I came to a realization after, like this whole week. Is a lot of people want to sing. A lot of people want to be a worship leader, or they want to sing, and because that's just what that's their desire. And I've been looking, I'm like, why is that one so a big subject? And I started realizing, you know what? It's not the singing that's attractive to you. It's the position. So what does singing represent to you? What kind of acceptance does it look like to you? And you'll get to the real source of why you really want to sing. Because I'm a worship leader here, and I really don't want to sing. I would rather drum, as you know, right? But the favor on my life is not necessarily singing. I fill in the hole where God wants me to. But the favor on your life, he said this. He said, where your favor is probably going to be your biggest frustration. That phrase is so true. So if you look at your life, I'm going to be honest here in front of everybody. My biggest frustration in life before, when I was working in retail or sales or mortgage, whatever I was doing, was I really, really, really hated selfish Christians. Okay? What I mean was, it really, really bugged me that my worst customers were usually Christians. And it really bugged me because I know that that's not what God wants. God wants us to look like Christ. He wants us to be them to call us Christians. Not even us call our own selves Christians, but he wants them to go, you look like that guy Christ. You must be a Christian. That's what it should look like. And it really bugged me. Well, guess what? Now God called me to a place where I'm helping Christians become a better representation of God. And that was my biggest pet peeve. So in your life, where is your biggest frustration? We call it pet peeve. What is your biggest thing that annoys you the most? That's probably pretty close to where your favor in life is. I know that you hate that, but look at it. If you look at it really deep, and then you'll probably start noticing you actually have an excitement deep down to fix that. But you've got to really be honest with yourself. You might not know how to fix it, but you do. If you really are honest with yourself, you're going to go, okay, you know, that bugs me because I'm seeing it probably clearer than most everybody else, and nobody's doing anything about it, and I'm mad at everybody else not fixing it. But really, God showed me because he wants me to help fix that problem. Does that make sense? So follow your favor is going to be a big subject. I know it for a fact. Shrug of God. That was Andrew Sherman. Basically, he said, who cares what people think? If you're doing what God wants you to do, you just need to, if people are condemning you, if people are doing things, you're just shrug it off your shoulders. It's no big deal. Some people are really good at that. My wife is fine at being herself. She doesn't really care what people think. And I love that about my wife. Absolutely do not want that ever to change, because I tend to care too much because I'm such a compassionate person sometimes that I care too much what people think. But God wants us to care the most about what he thinks. And if you can just keep your perception that way, God will impact your vision, and will make it so you can shrug things off that are no big deal, that the enemy's trying to attack you and get you to grab hold of when you don't need to. Andrew did say something that I want to say that was pretty cool. Part of that message, he said, one of the things I noticed that stops people from moving forward is being negative. Okay? So he said, every time you want to say sacrifice, switch it with privilege. This will help you. He said, this is a tip I've learned. I listened very closely to this. Every time Andrew gives you a tip of how to... I've seen Andrew who's gone through some major pressures, and he'd be calm and be okay. I mean, I know inside he's probably thinking, this is not okay. Life looks like this is crazy. But if he gives you any tips at all on how to be calm in those times, you listen. Because he's got a grace for it. And the tip he gave was, every time you want to say sacrifice, switch it to privilege. This will help you. It's a big deal. You get the privilege to do this. So anything, and that's helps you release where you your biggest frustration is in your favor, even, right? Well, I was just talking about where your biggest frustration is in the area of your favor. This will help you let go of those frustrations, because you're going to just go, okay, I get this, my privilege. God trusted me to change this. Does that make sense? It's good stuff. God has the end in mind first. That was Ted Hansen, of course. Some of the things he said was, what God has his focus on is important. And he has his focus on us. What we focus on is what we become. And God focuses on us, not the way we focus on ourselves. God focuses on us and what we're supposed to be. So we become that. If we listen to what he's focused on, we will become what he's focused on. It's beautiful. And you look at it through the Bible, this is all, I'm not giving you scriptures I could... If you want all the scriptures that they use, I could give you tons, and there's tons in the Bible, but just let God speak to you. When you're reading the Bible, think about these things that I'm saying, And God will talk to you when you're reading your scriptures. Bob said this the last time he spoke, don't let fear of man put you into prison. That was a big deal. The best thing that I wanted to go over today is, I'm going to finish a little bit about what I talked about. So that was the prelude of what happened at the conference. But the biggest thing that I felt that came out of the conference was move forward.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. That's
right. I think we all feel that in our spirit.
Yeah.
We all feel like in a time of life, economics, our marital status, whatever it is, we're facing something we just don't like to look at in our lives. Right? And God's saying, you know what? Move forward anyways. And I'll give you a story in the Bible. David was hiding for his life from King Saul. And he went in the caves. And while he was in those caves hiding for his life, he built his whole entire strongman army from that time. All the strongmen that he surrounded himself with for the rest of his life came from the time of his most need of his life. And what I feel in my spirit is that we're all facing storms. This is what this came out in the conference. We're all facing some kind of thing in our life that just doesn't feel nice. It doesn't feel comfortable. It feels like uncertainty for the future, or it feels like a frustration in our marriage, or there's some kind of storm that we're facing. Maybe our job is really hard, like it's never been before. We don't have a job, trying to get a job. The economy, looking at the way the government's looking at the economy, all this other stuff. These are all storms, okay? Those have the most potential to bring Christ out of us than ever before, because Christ wants to be the strong thing in our lives. It's a beautiful thing. And I believe what Andrew said was the biggest impact I've ever heard. He said, you know what? God told me, remember he told the story about it being on a bus. I'll tell you the story. It's cool. He was on this bus, and he gets on this bus, and he looks under the bus driver, and he could see all the ground underneath him through the bus floor. And Andrew goes, I've been traveling all my life, and I don't get afraid of much. I've been on some pretty shaky airplanes. I've been in buses with animals in it, and all kinds. He'd been on all kinds of things, and I don't usually get scared. But this time, we're going up to the Swiss Alps on a bus. And he goes, halfway up, I made the mistake of getting out and looking at the bus. The tires didn't even have tread or rubber. They were on the white mesh that the rubber is glued to, right? So, and then the floor was thing, and the bus driver, every time he had to stop, had to pump the brakes. And they're going the Swiss Alps. They're going up the, and he's like, God, and he goes, in the middle of that, God taught me a lesson for my life. He said, you know what? He reminded him of the story of the boat that we talked about a couple weeks ago, about Jesus in the boat sleeping while the storm was happening. And he said, what did they say? What did Jesus say? And he looked at the scripture. That morning he had just read the scripture, and it said, go to the other side is what Jesus said. And at the end it says, and they arrived there. And God told him, you know what? You will arrive. I felt that is for us. Okay? I want you to grab onto that. Wherever you're facing, whatever you're handling in your life, God promises you will arrive.
That's right.
Hang on to him. Hang on to the promises he's gave you. You will arrive, and you can rest. And he said, from then on, I had all peace. He goes, I could see down the cliff, 10,000 miles down, right? I could see it through the hole in the floor. I could see no road. I'm like, oh my goodness. But I was fine because God promised me I'll arrive.
Right.
And that if you can just rest in the promise that he says, and you know what he's saying right now? He's saying move forward.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I believe that God is doing that for a lot of people right now. And before I let this other people share, I'm so excited. I can't wait. Last week, you know, my wife and I talked, and some of you don't know, my wife has had three things in her life she would never do. One is not be a pastor's wife. Number two is never be in front of people. And number three is living with people. Like, she doesn't want, her house is her private place, whatever. And we're doing all three right now. Oh, we did all three last week. She spoke in front of people. And that was, if you know how big a deal that was, it was a big deal. To me, it was super exciting because of what that did in the spirit realm. Because I believe with all my heart that God is about to set women free like they've never been set free before. I know it with all my heart. And Todd shared a dream last week that he had, that God gave him, about army of men standing up and they were moving. I had to share it, I guess, because a lot of people didn't get to hear it. So the dream, I'm going to try my best, Todd. Sorry. So they're at a campfire just talking. I don't remember what they're doing, but they hear this noise and they hear this enemy is coming their way. And they all get up and they stand. And they have these big long shields like Troy. The big long square shields. And they're standing up and they're right next to each other. And they are, someone's yelling out, move forward. And this is like before, this dream he had a couple months ago. So he said, move forward. And they're actually taking on the enemy when he said that. And underneath them, they're going over the bodies. And the bodies become this oil. and they're flicking the oil in the fire behind them because they were in a campfire. But the fire is not just a campfire anymore. It's a long line of fire. This is something he maybe have forgotten to share. It's a long line of fire behind all the men carrying the shields, right? And he said that there was holes in the shields. Where those holes were, the wind was blowing in and blowing out the fire. And as soon as the commander saw that there was holes, he said, pick up your shields and fill in the hole. And they would dust off their shields and fill in the hole, and the fire would flourish. And they were flicking the oil in the fire. Okay? And then he looked back and he realized the fire wasn't fire. There was noises coming out. There were shouts coming out from the fire. And the fire wasn't even fire. It was actually women. And they were yelling out things that praise to God. They were yelling, I can't remember what they were yelling out. But the coolest thing was that it's setting women alive. It's setting women free. So here's what I get from that now more than ever before. God promised me a while ago, I started a series about being ready, willing, and able. Remember a month ago? And it started off with God's going to release a treasure. He called it his inheritance. But it's an oil. Do you remember that? And the very thing the enemy intends to do to hurt you becomes the fuel for the fire that keeps you going. So anytime the enemy comes at you, that thing that he's coming at you with becomes the very thing that makes you stronger. Becomes the very thing that makes your wife stronger. Becomes the very thing that makes the men stronger. It's the very thing that's fueling the very flame of God in us. And I am ecstatic at what God is doing. And I believe that God gave me a picture of what that should look like. And it's in Isaiah 32. Now, I've put my own words in here, but I'm going to read this. Because I believe this is the life we have the potential to be living in right now. So Isaiah, I've got it. I think I'm reading it from the New Living Translation, and I've kind of put my own stuff. I've gone through several translations and tried to make it as modern English as possible without losing the core of what it was. It says, verse 1, look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes will rule under him. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and like a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and like a shadow of a great rock in the parched land. Then everyone who has eyes will be able to see the truth, and everyone who has ears will be able to hear it. Even the hotheads will be full of sense and understanding. Those who stammer will speak out plainly. In that day, ungodly fools will not be heroes. Now I skip down to verse 16, and it actually says scoundrels will not be respected. Verse 16, it says, when the wilderness will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. Justice will rule in the wilderness, and needy places, this wilderness is a needy places in our lives, and righteousness, which is a right relationship with Father, in the fertile fields. And this righteousness, this right relationship with our Father, will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. Then my people will live in peaceful habitation and in secure dwellings, and they will be at rest, no matter what's around you, remember? Even if the forest should be destroyed and the city should be torn down, the Lord will greatly bless his people. Whoever, wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Their cattle and donkey will graze freely. What this means to me is that because I believe, and it's not just men, but men are standing up. Men, I challenged you last week to stand up like you've never stood up before. What has God called you to be, and believe it? And I'll tell you again, some of you heard it 100 times already, some of you have not heard it ever. God called me a Lamborghini, and I think I'm a Pinot. It does not matter what I think, what I smell like, what I sound like, what I look like, what I think, all these things I are. If God said I'm a Lamborghini, I need to shut my mind off and trust that he says I'm a Lamborghini. So what does God say that you are? Okay, we're becoming people of grace. We're becoming princes and princesses. We are his sons and daughters that rule and reign on this earth. The solution to your problems is not the government getting it right. The solution to your problems is not your school system getting it right. The solution to your problems is not your job getting it right. Yeah. The solution to your problems is you finding out who you were born to be. Yeah. So that you can stand up and be the influence in wherever you are. God sent you wherever you are right now in life. The job you're at, the school you're at, the home you're at, the relationship you're at. He sent you there. And if you're complaining about that place you've been in, God is going to say, you know what, I thought I sent you there. Because he's trusted it in your hands. Okay, he's calling us to be great people, women, not to be people who are needy, like the children of Israel, who we called out for everything from heaven. God gave us all the keys of heaven. This scripture in verse 16, it says, when my spirit is being poured out on all flesh, this is what will happen. This is the spirit, his spirit has been poured out on all flesh. That's right. So this has the ability to happen right now. There's nothing stopping it. We're not in a time of drought. We might look like economic hurt, but it's not a time of drought because we have access to the one who is never ending. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So this morning I'm going to let David and Megan come up because they have a pretty awesome testimony of what God's been doing. Come here. I'll be with you. Just like I was with my wife, I'll be with you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Who's going to share first?
I'll share first.
You share first. So we just, before we do that, I want to say something. I'm not going to mess you up or nothing, okay? So God speaks through all of us, okay? And I trust these two very much with what God is saying to them, okay? So I want you to know that. And I believe with all my heart that what God is doing through these two is a sign that what God can do for you and is doing for you. Okay? And I also believe that when they speak, God is going to speak to your heart. So don't you listen to the words they're saying, but let God speak to you as they're talking, okay? There you go. You're set up now.
Can we use your pulpit?
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-oh. We're in trouble now.
Yeah, just so I... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've never done this before. So about six years ago, I had a pretty bad experience with some religiosity, like legalism, people saying stuff over me that was like just yucky, and yeah, just gross stuff. So I, instead of being like Christ and forgiving, I turn it around and like just started getting really bitter and like hating the church. That's okay to say that.
Yeah.
But I just started, yeah, just getting so angry and like trying to find accusations against the church, against church people, and against like doctrine or beliefs or anything. And I just became like this enemy to the church. And so this last weekend, I'm just going to share what happened at the conference. This last weekend, I had a turnaround, like my heart change. And it was so neat. And it was really subtle. It wasn't like I was shaking on the ground and wiggling and, you know, getting lightning bolted out of this problem. I was like, it was just a subtle change, and it was beautiful, actually. It was really, really nice. So, and it was because of you guys. It was because of watching you with the Lord. It was watching you with each other. And so I asked the Lord what he wanted me to say. Jonathan asked us to talk, and he said, God said, well, what do you want to say? And I said, I want to write a thank you card to these people, these churchy people. So I did.
I love it.
I did. And this is massive for me because I came from a place of like obvious, you know, hate to love. And so this is like a love letter, guys and girls. But I found this really cool 70s psychedelic card in my drawer that I had to use. I think my mom gave it to me when she was young, when I was young. And I think she got it in the 70s. She likes weird stuff. She's an artist. So here goes to the churchy people. I watched you this weekend. I watched what was happening. I watched the camaraderie of the teachers with each other and with the folks attending. I watched you worship and I watched you dance. I watched Eric get up and challenge all the old people, older than 17, to love Jesus big. I watched you cry and I watched you shake and wiggle. And I watched you laugh and I watched you hug and encourage each other. I watched you step up and I watched you humble yourself. I watched my pastor honor his father, Ted, and I watched Ted honor his son. I saw all these things, and when I saw them, I fell in love with you, church. I fell in love with you people again. You're amazing. You have found freedom in Christ, and watching you has changed me. You're crazy, and I needed to see that. Your display of freedom has brought me freedom. Hallelujah. Man, I just love you, church, and I love the way you love. I love the way you forgive. I love the way you're free, and when Christ sets you free, you're free indeed. Thank you for loving each other and my Jesus so much. Because of you, I am changed. So this is to you guys. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Is my wife awesome? Pretty lucky. So I was just going to share a little bit what happened to me this last weekend, and a little nervous because it's kind of a bit vulnerable for me, some of the stuff I'm going to share. So I've struggled with two things. One is even though I had an awesome family and awesome friends growing up, I always felt this like huge gap in my life to be fathered. Like I was always, about 10 years ago when I gave my life back to the Lord, I've been searching for some spiritual father to make my life better or something. And I knew there was something about a father that I was missing. And this other thing I've struggled with is this sense of belonging. Even growing up through high school, middle school, all those years, I never felt like I belonged anywhere. Like, no one really quite understood me and this kind of thing. And, you know, I wonder how many of us have felt like that a little bit, huh? And so I've struggled with these things. And this last year, really, God has been doing so much to confront that stuff. It really culminated this weekend. And I just had to filter this down because there's so much that I could share. But the one thing that happened is after Sunday morning, Megs and I just went home and we just felt the Lord pulling on us. You know, it's like we need to pray together. And so we just sat there on the floor together and God just decided to visit us. And he just started showing me, like, throughout my whole life, like, he had been there in the background. He had been my father. But I didn't recognize him. It's not that I didn't recognize him because I knew he was kind of there, but I didn't never received him as my father. And so I sat there on the floor just declaring, because thanks to my wife, she's like, you need to declare God your father. And so I just started doing that over myself. I was like, God, you're my father. And he started showing me just all through my life how he'd been there. And he put together this other vision I had about at my actual birth. Like, he just showed me there was angels all around, and the Father was there just so excited about my birth. And, you know, he's, you know, if he knit us together in our mother's womb, I'm pretty sure he was excited about when we actually come out, you know. He went to a lot of work. And so right at that point, I'm just sobbing, right, because it's just God, the Father, I'm connecting with the Father finally. For one of the first times in my life, he just started filling that place. And if that wasn't enough, he just starts saying, son, you belong. You belong in my family. You're my son. I'm your father. And you belong at my table. And I saw this huge, huge table. And there was millions, I mean, sitting at this table, right? Because it's Father's table. And it just went on beyond you could see, because you can't see the end of it. And I knew for the first time in my life that I belonged at the Father's table. Oh, Jesus. And so I was wondering, actually, I've been having this picture in mind. I wonder if you could all play along with me, but could you all stand up real quick and just link arms with the person next to you, just like so, and just snuggle up, get cozy. We're at the Father's table. Come on. This is so me, and this is so for Peter, I don't know where you are. Okay. You're going to get it over there then. But I just want to, you can't really do this, but just imagine you're doing it. Just lift up your glass at the Father's table.
Oh,
And he's just going to fill it with the cup of fellowship. That you belong at the Father's table. And you belong to each other. I love this church family. We belong together. And if you haven't felt like you belong, you belong.
Yes.
We're members of one another. So we're just going to just use your spiritual imagination. And we're just going to drink this cup.
Come on,
in
brother,
Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Come on. Yeah.
Cheers.
Come on.
All right, before we
let them go, let's just pray for them real quick.
Yes.
Just extend your hands forward. So, Father, we just thank you for David and Megan. We thank you, God, for the awesome couple that they are. And God, we know you want to do this in many more people's lives, God. And this is just the beginning in their life. Not even just the beginning, but this is a continuation of a work that you've been doing in their lives. But you want to do this in others, God, who haven't even got the taste of who you are. So God, we just thank you, God, for this first fruit.
Yeah.
We thank you, God, for this couple that is tapping into some secrets of heaven, because you just want them to feel your love and your compassion, God. You want them to see what it is you see. You want them to taste what it is you taste. And you want them to hear what it is you hear, Father. And we just thank you, God, that you're going to open their eyes and their ears and their senses more than they ever have in their life before, to be able to know who you are and to see you around them and wherever they go. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Come on. Okay. We're not going to go much longer. I got to tell you something really, really cool. I forgot he said he might do something like that. But Paul Bertier, I think I say his last name right, I can't remember. Bertigue. He is from Kelowna in Canada. And he said, you know, I know a thing or two about these shields. He goes, these Macedonian shields, they actually have links on the top of them where they link together and there's no way they can get unlinked. On top of that, on the bottom of these shields, there's spikes on the bottom, like long swords. So when you move forward, you pick them up and you stab them in the ground so you cannot go backwards anymore. I was like, wow. So he told that to Todd, right? And I thought, wow. So here's what I got out of that. God wants us to move forward and there is no more going back. Okay? I believe that God is calling us to stand up, to move forward, to be on the unknown. I also know that Ben Nichols had a thing about a vision about a snake on his feet, right? And he's kind of got a phobia of a snake. He actually showed up at my house once and we had a snake on the ground and he jumped like a little girl. It was pretty cool. It was awesome. I had to tell on him. He had no idea I was going to do that. But he grew up in Texas, so if you see a snake, it's probably poisonous.
Yeah.
Here we're like, we see snakes and, no big deal. But that's just in his defense anyways. I still think it's pretty awesome. Anyways, he had this realization that he felt like there was a snake around his feet. And God gave him, he was picking berries, and God gave him a, he said, move forward. And he goes, wait a minute, my feet are already in the air. I'm already moving forward. He goes, when I step down, I'm crushing them. So there, even if the enemy's right at your ankles, just keep moving forward. Because when you move forward, you're going to crush the very thing that you think could take you out.
That's right.
So you don't have to get perfect to move forward.
That's right.
That's kind of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God, especially you men, you think you have to fix your problems before you can stand. I say no. I say stand right now where you're at. Matter of fact, the more messed up you are, the more things you've done wrong in your life to cause problems in your life, and if you can stand right then, the more it means.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you have to rely on God.
Yeah.
You don't have the strength to stand on your own. You know, you can flat out know, and you're afraid people are going to know that you don't know what you're doing. Guess what? I don't know what I'm doing, but I do know the one who does, and I know I'm going to access him through my life. So I believe with all my heart that God has set something in alignment. Even now, today, okay, if you weren't here at the conference, you didn't miss out anything, you just got a whole recap for what it is, most of it, but God, you get the same as the end of the day as you do at the beginning of the day. That's what Jesus has done that. That's a pattern he likes to do. He likes to give you, he can't help it, he just likes to give you the whole deal. You weren't here the whole time, no problem, you get the whole deal. I want you to have the whole package. And I believe that God is moving us just push. There's something behind us. It feels like there's just a wave behind us. I can't tell what it is. There's something awesome behind us that is saying, okay, it's all right. You can go forward.
Yeah.
And I believe with all my heart that God is wanting to help you get past the stuff, whether it be health issues, whether it be relational issues, whether it be whatever the issues are. God wants you God wants to break those things. He is not okay with those things in your life.
That's right.
He's way okay with you. He's not okay with those things in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He does not want, there is no shame. The only thing you're guilty of on his thing is mercy.
Yeah.
The only thing you're guilty of from him is mercy. And then he wants to give you something even better, grace. Mercy is, how do they say it? Oh gosh. Detaching from the past, and grace is attaching you to your future. Come on. So grace is an empowerment. God has given you a grace to do things. God has given you a grace in life to be able to do what you were born to do. He gave you that grace. Mercy is so because we tend to fall into shame because of what we did. I did something that makes it so I can't do that. I did this, so therefore everybody tells me I can't do that because I failed in that. Well, guess what? Mercy says, no, it doesn't matter. Wash you clean. Detaches you from anything you've done wrong. Grace says, okay, now you're empowered to go forward. And God wants to do that. And I feel it in my spirit like never before. Women, you're about to experience bliss with God. I know it with all, I know you can say that, well, he's just saying that. No, I know what I feel. I know what I see happening. My wife was up here preaching last week. Hello. That is the biggest deal I've ever experienced in my life. Mm-hmm. Because I know that was God releasing her from the. I didn't even ask her to do it. Which, hello, again, there's another miracle, right? So it was just absolutely a phenomenal thing. And she is more free than she's ever been. And she's going to be more free than she's ever been. You understand? And I believe that for all women. And I think that anything that's trying to stop you, hold you back, is because the enemy does not want you to know who you are. And men, you feel like you can't step forward. You feel like you can't be the one that makes a safe place because you failed. You failed your women. You failed whatever it is in life. No, you didn't. What does God say you are? Yes, you made a mistake, but you can get there from here. It's okay. I've given it permission, and this is I'm going to say it many times as I can. I want this place to be a place where it is okay to not be okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I want that to sink in. It sinks in a little bit more every time I say it. What it means is I give you permission to show me your ugly side. Whoa, quiet when I say that, huh? That means your problems can be exposed here. And I hope that you all can do that same thing to everyone here. I hope you all can go, okay, you know what? That's a big deal. But we should be definitely doing that with our marriage relationships. Because if they're trying to hide who they are from you, where is the relationship in that? Because they have to be perfect to have entrance with you? That's not true. They don't have to be perfect to have entrance with you. You should be okay with them not being okay. They need you in your life. And you need them. The only way you're going to get fixed is to go together. Yeah. Not alone, not isolated. Yeah, absolutely. My mom wants to share. See, look.
Years ago, now I'm going to cry. Years ago, I had a vision, and there were men standing ready to go into battle, but they were like that far apart from each other. And they were ready to move forward, and they waited. And their wives came and stood next to him, to each of them. Do you know what that does? That doubles the army that quick. And then they could go into battle together.
Interesting. That's interesting. I didn't know that. And I have to say, if I had my wife by my side in the army, I'd feel pretty safe. Yeah. I know what my wife is like. If a guy ever whistles at her, I feel bad for the guy, actually. I used to be all ticked off, oh, you dirty, sick person, whatever, you're whistling at my wife. But now if they do it, I'm like, no, you're going to get it. So I don't have to worry too much. All right, so before we go, we're just going to close up here. You want to say something? Yeah, let me bring it to you. I just turn it. Roberta, say it.
When I speak,
I know you speak loud, but we want people want to say.
I want to say, this is what I've felt since I've been here, as a sense of belonging, and a sense of God, and it's grown and grown and grown, and it's keep coming back because it'll keep growing.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. So, you know, we don't have everything figured out, not by far. I wish we had all these programs you could get plugged in and get connected and feel valued. If I had to say anything that's important to me, I want you to know how valuable you are. Okay? I really do want you to know how valuable you are. And I know God wants you to know how valuable you are. And the enemy's trying to get everyone to feel how valuable you are. I can feel the anointing right now. God wants you to know how valuable you are. And I want you to know. Me, as a person. One of my biggest prizes, I want people to know how important and how valuable they are. Not in the value they think they are, so that, meaning they could be a worship leader and then they'll be valuable. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to know you are valuable just who you are, doing nothing. Just you are valuable. Not what you do is valuable, who you are is valuable. Does that make sense? Then nobody tells us that. You know what I did from the conference, after the conference? I sat down with my daughter and I said, you know what? Daddy will love you always, no matter what you do. Even if it looks like Daddy's upset at you, I can never, ever not love you. I promise you I will never, ever not love you. And I noticed what that does. It's called unconditional love. Yeah. He loves you not because of what you do. He loves you because He loves you. Now, He wants you to realize who you are so that you can be free to love others that way too. Okay? Because it's not just about me and Him. It's about us together as well. Yeah. That's what communion is all about. What an appropriate morning. So, I don't know how to go from here, but in your bulletins, you guys got these things called connection cards, okay? I really want you to ask yourself a question. You can fill out your name on the front. There's a basket on the back corner where all the bulletins are. You can just put it in the basket on the way out. But I really want you to do, a plan of action is always a good idea, okay? I don't hate it when preachers just preach at you and that's it. You should be doing something, that you're living something that God spoke to you this week. I don't know what God spoke to you. Maybe He spoke something I said. I'm hoping God spoke to you directly. That's what I'm hoping. But become a follower of Jesus Christ for the first time. Now would be a great time to have a relationship with Him. Because we can't make it alone. Okay? We need Him to be with us. We need Him to be the source of our life. And we have to have a relationship to do that. Not to know of Him or about Him, but to have a relationship with Him. Second step, identify what are the things that appear to be the enemy, but are actually fuel. And what I mean by that is, what is the struggle in your life right now? What seems to be trying to take you out? What seems to be, is your job just not fun right now at all? What are you facing? Are you facing addiction? What is it that seems to look like it's going to take you out? That is actually, identify what that is and recognize, is it for what it is? It's actually, the enemy is going to be turned into fuel, to fuel you for the future. Because you will overcome this. You will arrive at the other side of this. Especially if you join with in unity and you identify who your promise is or who came from, and that you have a relationship with Him. Okay? So identify that in your life. What is that in my life? What am I most afraid of right now? Identify that in your life. And think, if you can't identify it now, think about it this week. Okay? Think about why. What is my stumbling block? What is the thing I'm most afraid to do right now? Listen to one or more of the conference podcasts. I don't know if we're done with those yet, are we? If we're not done with it, just listen to Sundays. Sundays is on there, on the podcast. You can go to alifefamily.com, go to the We Listen, and you'll see a link. It takes you to another site until ours is done. And it'll actually listen to, I think it was called Men and Women of Grace, is when Danny and I spoke. You get to hear a woman who never spoke before sound awesome. And then commit to joining one of these life groups. It's time to get connected. It's time to get together in unity. You cannot win this battle alone. Okay, you have to be with each other. And before I close, I have to say something to somebody. I really don't like doing this one. God likes to speak sometimes, okay? You saw that on the offering a little bit. You sure? Okay, so I don't like to point out new people, but I don't know who you are. But God is all over you, man. And I see that people have told you what you should be most of your life. Okay, God says, you know what? I don't care what people say you are. You need to care what I say you are. And you know inside your heart, you have some passions and some desires in your life that you said, no, I can't. Because I've been told my whole life I can't. And God says, no way, throw them out. Shrug it off. He says that you identify what God says you are and you run full on with it. Because what I have in your hands, I specifically thought of you. I'm like, this is for Him. Because He will make it last and make it the most impact. Because He knows who He is. And I feel like that you're about to enter on this fast-paced journey of your life. And you already are, but you're about to enter even faster, man. I see you running like a bat out of hell. I just see you running just so fast that you can't, and no one can keep up with you running. But the impact you're making, it's like a I see a picture. When I hear God, I get feelings, okay? So I'm trying to describe to you what I'm feeling. And the picture I see is like you're running and there's this debris behind you just because you're running so fast. And it's a good thing because you're demolishing everything that makes it so people can't see themselves for who they really are. The very thing you thought was trying to control you is the fuel. I mean, people said you had to be this way. And every time you see someone do that to someone else, you're like, hell no, that's not who you have to be. Who does God say you are? And you're going to be the one that steps in, no problem. Who doesn't matter who's telling them that. Doesn't matter if it's the president of a corporation or the school president, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. You're going to step right in between them and say, no, that's not who you are. Who are you? You tell him who you are. He can't tell you who you are. And you're going to stand. It's going to be the very thing that fuels you. Every time you see that, it's going to really tick you off. And you're like, that is not okay. God does not like that because he does not tell me. He doesn't control me. So why would anybody do that? So I just bless you with that, man. Just be who you were supposed to be. Come on. Oh, come on. Trevor. Beavis. Yeah, God wants to talk to you. I feel like God is saying that you've been afraid to stand up. And you've been afraid to stand up because of some things in your life that you say, I can't. I don't know what I'm doing. Or I have to fix this first. And God said, no, you don't. And God, and I see a strength in you that you don't see in yourself. I see a strength in you that God wants to pull out of you. And I think God wants to put some men around you to rally you up. fight with you, brawl with you to get you prepared for what was ahead of you. And the very thing right now that feels like it's pulling you back is actually stirring a passion in you that you haven't felt in a while. You had to just kill the passion so that you wouldn't be tortured with this anymore. And God's saying, let that passion breathe again. He's saying, let that passion come alive in you again so that you can go and use that as the fuel that brings you forward. So, Father, I just lift up Trevor to you right now. I thank you, God, that he is blessed by you and that no weapon formed against him can prosper because you have called him to be your son, God. So we just lift up Trevor to you right now. We thank you, God, that all put a pair of glasses on him that are your glasses, Father, so he can see the perspective that you want him to see in his life, his wife's life, and his boy's life, God. Just put the perspective of heaven on his eyes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on. Good. Good stuff. All right, let's stand up. We're going to let everybody go. God is good, okay? You got to believe that. I hope you can feel what I'm feeling in my spirit, which is that good things are around the corner. I had a meeting with some guys this week, and in that meeting, there was five guys that had awesome testimonies that have happened this week. Wow. So breakthrough is happening, okay? So you just got to stand firm and believe. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, speaking of which, actually, this is great. I'm actually kind of glad I missed it. Mike Morrow is starting a thing called Breakfast Club. He was contemplating. I heard you had another one that you chickened out on, actually. It was going to be Boys to Men, which I thought was kind of a play on words. It's great. I think it's great. Breakfast Club works. So at 6:30 on Thursday, every other Thursday, starting the 6th, they're going to have coffee at Woods Coffee in Linden.
Yep.
By Safeway, yep. It's on the Guide Meridian. So if you're a guy and you feel like you haven't connected, now you got, and you're in Linden, now you got no excuses.
It doesn't matter who.
It doesn't matter where, but Linden, I know a lot of Linden has been hard to drive to Bellingham when they have guys' things and all this stuff, but now there's one in Linden. So, and I believe that God's going to do some pretty awesome things through that. It's time to get connected. And as soon as we men come together, the women is already don't have, they already have it all together. I mean, I know the women are, God likes what women are doing, okay? It's the men that need to stand up, okay? I really feel it. And I can say that because I have an authority to do that. I'm a man, and I'm standing up, okay? It's time for us to stand up and be the men we're supposed to be for the women's sake. That fact, that very act makes you a man. If you're standing up for others, that means you're standing up. If you're standing up for yourself, you're not getting it yet, but you will. Because you'd be hanging around enough men that are. All right? So, Father, we just thank you for what you've done today. Yeah. We thank you, God, for what you've done in the earth in general. Just in the last even few years, God, what you've been pushing into motion, we give you glory for, God. We give you the credit for what you're doing. And we thank you, God, that you have chosen us to be born in this such a time as this, God. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. We thank you that we are going to move forward. Amen.